Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory and Ivory Coast Media Production.
Listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. It's February, and it is the month that Black history is celebrated. Today on The Spectrum, we are going to talk with two individuals who have taken it to the next level with a project called BH365, Black History 365, an inclusive account of American history. Black History 365 is a U.S. history textbook or ebook documenting unique stories of Black persons, groups, and cultures in North America, beginning in ancient Africa and continuing to modern events and movements. This interactive history social science textbook can be used independently or as supplemental text and includes interactive instructor resources that will engage all learners. The gateway to connecting history to daily life, this transcendent approach to American history allows students of all ethnicities to engage in meaningful conversations with teachers, peers, and their families through the lens of Black history. Full of rarely told history lessons, the BH365 curriculum has exclusive access to more than 3,000 original artifacts that takes students and educators on a colorful journey to embracing an inclusive account of American history. To tell us more about the project, we have Dr. Walter Milton Jr., founder and CEO of BH365. Dr. Milton is a native of Rochester, New York. He earned a BA from the University of Albany and an MS from SUNY College of Brockport. He took postgraduate courses at the University of Rochester to receive his administrative certifications, including his superintendent's license. Also, we will hear from Dr. Joel Freeman, co-founder and executive director of BH365, author and publisher. For 20 NBA seasons, Dr. Freeman served as player development mentor and character coach for the Washington Bullets/Wizards. Surviving six coaching changes from 1978 to 1998, having grown up in Canada, it was during his time working with NBA players that his rather unique interest in Black history first emerged. In 1995, he co-authored the book, Return to Glory, The Powerful Stirring of the Black Race, with the foreword written by Julius Dr. J. Irving. All right. Well, great. Well, it's great to have you gentlemen on. Let's get right into it. I want to welcome to the Spectrum Dr. Walter Milton Jr. and Dr. Joel Freeman. Let's start with Walter. Walter, tell me, what was the inspiration for BH365?
Well, that's a great question. It really started back in elementary school with me, and it was derived from an experience that I had with a fourth grade teacher. Okay. Who said that, hey, you know, we're going to teach you guys Black history. You're going to learn it. And she started with slavery, and it had ushered so much shame and humiliation to me because it contradicted what my parents were telling me, that our history goes back to the beginning of time. And this was not that. And so she made it seem as if we came in the world as strict servitude. And so my plight to bring clarity to that whole notion began that day in that classroom in Rochester, New York.
Wow. That is really something. Talk to me a little bit about that experience, though, of being told what your history was and the conflict between what you hear in schools versus what your parents are telling you.
Well, immediately, like I said, it ushered so much shame and humiliation that I wanted to hide under the table. And I was in a classroom where there were only two other black students. We went to a special magnet school. And we looked at each other, and our heads immediately went down. We wanted to, you know, click a button and turn invisible at that time. Wow. Because the images that she showed were exaggerated and things like that. And I think she was a mean a person who meant well, but she had no clue. She probably thought she was doing something. And it really bothered me. It really stayed with me for just about my entire life.
Wow.
And as I grew older, and as my parents will continue to reiterate the things that they had shared with me, I said that this has to be a quest or a mission that I'm on.
Absolutely.
And so as my years of education as a teacher, a principal, and a school superintendent, I always fought to make sure that we had pedagogical practices that will celebrate the lives and bring about clarity, break stereotypes, and all those things to help students and also faculty and staff. And I remember my second job as a teacher, I went to the Prestigious School District, and the principal, his name was Roy Welkley. He was a Caucasian gentleman. He took the textbook and he threw it out of the window. And I said, wow, this must be part of the initiation here. I was ready to go and get the textbook. And he said, do not go get the textbook. He said, I threw it out because I want you to bring the reality of black lives to your curriculum here. He said, this is a district. It's a highly achieving district. And our students need to know the truth. Our parents are poised and positioned for them to handle that truth. And I want you to give it to them. And so that was my vindication from my experience that I had in fourth grade.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. It's really interesting that your parents told you essentially that our history as black people didn't start in chains. And that
right.
is something, and nobody ever told me that. It was something for me, it was actually innate. And it's like I looked around and I'm like, there's no way that this is how it started for us.
Right.
And it's certainly, it's not going to end like that for us, for certain. So I really appreciate your quest. Let's get Dr. Joel in here. Joel, it's good to speak to you again. It's been a while.
It has been. So good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours too. In your bio, it talked about your time as a player development mentor and character coach for the Washington Wizards, and your interest in African American or Black History Studies emerged there. Talk about that for me, and talk about how you got involved with BH365, if you will, sir.
Thank you. What happened is that I'd left home when I was 17. I grew up in Alberta, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I started hitchhiking all around North America. And long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, probably put 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb. I have no idea exactly how many thousands, but it was close to, I guess, about a year and 10 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the road. I had a conversion experience, ended up signing for up for Bible school, and the very next day, I signed up, and then about 7 years later, I became one of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
And I had no mentor. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, and all I knew is I needed to love these guys unconditionally. Number one, and number two, whatever they told me, I needed to hold it in confidence so that it wouldn't end up on the front of the sports page in the Washington Post next Tuesday or something like that.
Exactly.
So I just did that and survived 6 coaching changes. But one of the things that happened is that their position in life attracts a lot of insincere people. And so they were trying to figure out if I was worthy of their trust. So they started asking questions that were germane to what I was doing as a chaplain, character coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent play in biblical and extra-biblical history? They didn't ask the question quite that way, but that's what they were asking.
Sure.
I didn't have a clue. So it forced me to start studying in areas that I didn't know I needed to study. And then ended up getting meeting some folks that had Black History collections, and co-wrote a book called Return to Glory, which really was the catalyst for Walter and I meeting. And so the collection grew, and then two and a half years ago, because Walter and I have known each other for over two decades.
Okay.
So 2.5 years ago, Walter called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, let's do a Black History curriculum together." And I didn't even think about it. I said, "Sure, let's do it." And so that's how we connected, and we put in 12, 16-hour days. And he's in Texas. I'm in Maryland. We went down our respective rabbit holes. made this happen. It's just, I still look back on it, and it's just like, wow, how did this come together? It's amazing.
Well, it is actually so very necessary.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money, it's very important, and clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year, and we kind of get them back together, and they go on.
So Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it.
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction, right when we donate it.
Nope, not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bills, Sam. Whoop whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
No working woman should be homeless. Find out how you can help at BethlehemHouse.org. And remember, there is a benefit to be had by you by donating your car to Charity Motors. And even if you don't have a car, you can make a donation, because guess what? The needs never stop. Find out more about Charity Motors at charitymotors.org. Charitymotors.org. What can readers expect from this experience of reading BH 365, Black History 365?
Joe, and I'll add on to Joe.
Okay. Well, I guess the thing that we want to invite people to, because this engages all ages,
mm-hmm.
And what informed this entire writing experience, because Walter is the trailblazer. This is not my experience in America. It's Walter's experience. And so,
sure.
You know, I always defer to him and everything that I co-wrote in this project. But one of the main thing that we want to invite readers to is, number one, to become critical thinkers.
So that
when they agree with something, the follow-up question is, why? Why do you agree with it? If when someone disagrees with something, why do you disagree? Secondly, it's not enough just to be a critical thinker, but also a compassionate listener. There's two ears, one mouth. There's a parable there somewhere. And number three, it's not enough to think and listen, but also to speak respectfully, fact-based. Mm. We want to encourage people to become fact-based, respectful communicators of what they're passionate about.
Sure.
But it's not enough to think, hear, and speak. It is also, finally, to become an action-oriented solutionist. Mm. So that we want to really, you know, people moan and complain about things, and it's just like, okay, will we hear the same moaning and complaining a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Let's just take K-12, a whole generation of young people, and train them in the thinking, critical thinking, listening and speaking, and action-oriented solutionists, and see what happens in our school systems across the country. So we really want to, that's really what we're all about.
Well, that's awesome, because critical thinking is absolutely essential. It sounds like the laws of logic are involved in this curriculum. Dr. Walter, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, sir. One thing that's really, it's compelling to Joel and I, that we wanted to share the epitome of truth.
Mm.
And like Joel alluded to, we said that we didn't want to be Afrocentric. We didn't want to be Eurocentric. It was important for us to be truth-centric.
Mm.
And with that said, it really inspires the reader to really become intimate with the book and the curriculum and the images and the technology that we have infused and the music.
Mm.
And so what happens is that not only does it become cathartic for especially people that look like you and me, but it becomes a strong sense of clarity for others,
right,
to say that these people have not only contributed to America, the building of this nation, but they have been the movers and shakers of the world.
Wow.
And they're descendants of those people. And so that's the impact that we desire to make in the lives of people. And when we have those kinds of experiences, we increase the probability of people coming together.
Mm.
And a lot of the walls and stereotypes are broken down.
Wow. That is so very powerful. How can individual readers benefit from this insightful and engaging project?
Walter?
Yeah, say that one more time.
I said, it sounds like a project for, it's like a curriculum, kind of a classroom group setting, but is there a benefit for the individual reader?
Oh, yes, very much so. Joel alluded to it. It engages all ages. And what we found is that many adults are really enjoying the material because they're saying, this is a quest that I've had all my life.
Okay.
I've been on the mission to get this information, and I can't believe it. And it's so powerful to them because we've unearthed information that people have not heard of before.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, hey, we talk about Martin Luther King, but did anyone know that his photographer was an informant? Hmm. Did anyone know that there was things going behind the scenes that was beyond understanding? And so we go into those corners and we share that information.
Right.
And I think that this the responses that that we've been getting is that this is more than a curriculum. This is bigger than that.
Sure.
And then we have community as well as academic activities in the book, but mm-hmm. we also have community activities that people can use it in their homes with their families.
Sure.
And the team that Joel and I have, they are just outstanding. They really are. And he and I can't take any credit. We have to really give it, you know, to the greatest of the great, and also for blessing us with the people that we have.
That is absolutely awesome. And you alluded
and another,
to...
Another thing, can I just hitchhike off that?
Go ahead.
We were really struggling with how do we deal with some of the tough topics. Because, you know, it's like going to a Mexican or Chinese or Thai restaurant, mm-hmm. and you open up the menu and there's a dish that has a little red pepper next to it. And right. intuitively, you know, that's going to be hot and spicy. And some people are repelled by those dishes and some exactly. are attracted only to those dishes.
Sure.
Well, we know that, you know, we're dealing with issues that have vexed our country for centuries.
Right.
And so what happens is in, when it comes to this topic, we can get too militant. Or not militant enough, too up, too Pollyanna-ish, or too down, too shame-filled and guilt-ridden, or depressing, too right, too left politically. And so we came up with the whole idea of the razor's edge, and Walter mentioned truth centrism. And to help develop the critical thinking and compassionate listening and respectful, fact-based communicating and action-oriented solutionists, we identified over 50 topics that are so hot that people don't want to talk about it, or they talk at each other or past each other, block each other on social media right. after they talk about it. And so topics like reparations, the N-word, should we tear the statues down, scientific racism, doctrine of discovery, manifest destiny, can a white person ever fully understand the black experience in America, are we in a post-racial society after a black president for two terms, and the list goes on and on, Uncle Tom, three-fifths a human being. And so we bring those, we walk straight into those topics, and wow. where the images are, like lynching, we share the images of lynching.
Wow.
And we have a whole proprietary process through our professional development team where we train the instructors in a topic called From Cultural Competency to Cultural Humility. And so it's just, there's nothing, it's very little that's more difficult to deal with than a woke person with a lot of knowledge, but not much wisdom. And so what we want to do is to help the instructors to understand, to be woke, to be aware, to have the knowledge. But in the ancient text, it says that knowledge puffs up.
Sure.
And so we want to bring that knowledge from the head to the heart, to the will, and then to be able to look at what we've created as a curricula that we've done a lot of heavy lifting for them, and then encourage the instructors then to provide an environment where it's actually student-centered. And the students then we help them through a proprietary process where they create their own rules of engagement. They create their own talking stick. Whoever is holding the stick gets to talk, has the authority to speak, and everyone else listens. And now we're ready to deal with the good, the bad, the ugly, especially after we have introduced ancient Africa as the first thing that they study. And so we talk about the genius, the creativity, no pejorative images, all about folkways and mores and values and hunting, gathering, fishing, industry, agriculture. And we talk about the kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. Now we're ready for a slavery and a slave trade. And even if when we talk about slavery and slave trade, we spend a whole section dealing with the slave rebellions. And then we move through this gentle timeline through Civil War and Reconstruction and Harlem Renaissance and the struggle for civil rights and end up in Canada because people wonder what happened to the people that were the freedom seekers that went north in the fugitive slave laws, pushed them into Canada. What happened to them? So we spend a whole unit dealing just with that.
Wow. That is really engaging and really powerful. Walter, a couple of minutes ago, just alluded to some interesting tidbits that people, that I know that most people didn't know. Let's give me, either one of you, just give me a couple. I think you've already whet their appetite for the information. But if you will just share just a couple of nuggets of interesting aha, if you will, type of moments, or I didn't know that, if you will.
Well, we have to really change the phrase that if you want to keep it from us, put it in a book. We can change that phrase that the information is in the book, and I'm confident that you're going to go and read it. When one of the things is this whole notion of Uncle Tom.
Mm.
It's fascinating because, you know, we've always been taught that, you know, you're an Uncle Tom when you are beheads to the will of the oppressor and those who don't look like you. and you have no commitment and loyalty to your people. Hmm. Uncle Tom was the direct opposite of that.
Wow.
Uncle Tom was a person who loved his brothers and sisters. He would take lashes for them. If they didn't have enough cotton, he will give them his cotton. He would protect black women. He would stand up for them, and he would take severe beatings. And Uncle Tom succumbed to the character by the name of Sambo. And so Sambo was the one that, when the slave master said, "Hey, I have a cold," Sambo would say, "We have a cold." And so he was the one that was dedicated to the demise of not only Uncle Tom, but the other slaves, because he wanted to win favor in the eyes of the slave master.
Wow.
So as a result of that, our people don't realize that when we call each other an Uncle Tom, we are giving the utmost accolades to each other. And so I think that, in finding that out, it was really, really fascinating to do that, so to learn that information. And we should be conscious and cognizant of that.
Well, it certainly has done that for me.
Thank you.
Were you about to say something else? Like I said, I'm not trying to interrupt.
Oh, and another one is and Joe can attest to this, because we had to find a creative way to write this, but the Willie Lynch letter. That when you tell our people that the letter was not accurate or true, however, the actual letter itself, however, the things in the letter were accurate and true. And so we had to find a very creative way to bring clarity to that, because many people think that that letter was actually written on the Jones Banks that day by a Caribbean slave owner. So,
And another thing we discovered is that Madam C.J. Walker was not the first African-American female millionaire. It was Annie Malone, the woman who taught her. A woman who had a whole city block in Chicago that she owned. She built this enormous building in St. Louis that you'd swear, it's a four-story building with a mezzanine at the top, level at the top, that you swear straight out of Wall Street. She paid, for instance, in 1926 alone, she paid close to $40,000 in taxes alone in 1926.
Wow.
She owned her philanthropy was legendary. She gave diamond rings for the first 5 years of service. She trained well over 75,000 women entrepreneurs throughout North America and the Caribbean.
Wow.
She gave cash awards. If someone had a savings account in a bank or a home purchase, she would say, "Hey, here's some money to thank you for what you're doing." So, and she trained Madam C.J. Walker to be a Poro College agent, because that was the name of the college she built in St. Louis, called Poro, P-O-R-O, College. And so it just, things like that we've unearthed that and verify are just astonishing.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to immersing myself in this material and encouraging others to do so as well. In our conversation yesterday, you were receiving a shipment of material. How is your book being received?
It's being received very well. Joel and I are, the team, we're just preparing for the major waves that we're hoping for that will come about, because more importantly than the fiscal reality of this, this is more missional work to us.
Sure.
This is our opportunity to say that, God put us on this earth with this mighty purpose, and that we were a vessel and we were a good steward over this opportunity that we have to change lives forever. And that's why we wanted to entitle the book Black History 365, An Inclusive Account of American History, because the history that we have, it's too big to fit in that little book. And we have 1,248 pages.
Wow.
And so, I think that we have a history that should be front page news every day. And so we said that we're going to do that 365 days a year.
Wow. And another thing is that, to hitchhike off that, is that we have music, and the music is created by a gentleman by the name of K.O., Dr. Kevin K.O. Cates. K.O. is a stage name. He's a multi-platinum Grammy award-winning producer. He's worked with Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg, Drake, T.I., Rick Ross, Ludacris, and others. He left the rap and hip-hop game because he just didn't like the pejorative view of women,
right.
The drugs, and all the rest that come with it. So he started something else in the curriculum space. We met him about 6 years ago, and then Walter and I, we met with him in Atlanta for a whole day and shared the project. And back then, we just had Word documents. We shared the vision, and he grabbed a hold of it and said, "I'll do a song for every chapter." So we have 40 songs.
Wow.
And 41, actually, because we have an anthem song. And some musicians who've heard it have said this could well be the next Hamilton. And the reason why is because we start in ancient Africa, and we come all the way up to George Floyd and John Lewis. So it's an anthology of history, of American history. And then also we have QR codes, probably close to 2,000 of them throughout the entire textbook. So someone puts their reading, let's say, about the different philosophies between W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, and then they can put their cell phone over the QR code, and up pops a film, a video, or a website that gives them more information, expands their minds in understanding that information. And that's going back to what I said about knowledge and wisdom. You know, knowledge is important. We have to have knowledge. It's an occupational hazard. We've got to have the knowledge.
Sure.
But then as life, as we deal with life and deal with others, then that knowledge can be, wisdom is the application of that knowledge. And so that's what we're hoping with our students who engage with this and other people, is that we all become wise with the knowledge that we have as a base. And so that's what we're all about.
Well, it's been tremendous talking with both of you, and there's tremendous information in what you have prepared. And I think that a lot of people, if they think they're woke now, their eyes are going to be really wide open. But even more important, I think they're going to have the opportunity to have wisdom imparted to them as well. So please give some details to the listeners on how they can get access to this project.
It's just going to bh365.org. So it's BH as in Black History, BH365 as in every day in the year, bh365.org.
Wow, nice and simple and clean. Well done. Do you gentlemen have any final comments as we prepare to wrap up our time together?
Well, I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak on your show. And secondly, you know, it's our hope that we can impact as many lives as humanly possible with this incredible work that the team has designed.
Awesome.
Back in the 4th century, it has been purported that Augustine made this statement. He said, "Seek to understand before seeking to be understood." Seeking to understand doesn't mean that we will be guaranteed that we will be understood, but it precludes the need to be understood. And so what Walter and I are all about is seeking to understand and to help people in their journey, in their quest to understand. And then hopefully in our country, as people seek to understand before seeking to be understood, maybe healing can occur. And we're hoping that this book doesn't bring more division, but our intent is for this to bring healing through the gateway of history and through the gateway of understanding each other. And so we're just hopeful about that.
Well, I believe that you're going to achieve that and a lot more. And once again, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it myself. And I want to thank you both for taking the time out of your busy schedules to speak with the speak with our listeners, and certainly I'll make sure that we stay in touch. And once again, thank you for being on the Spectrum with Bob Ivory. It's been really enlightening for me to just sit here, and I know it's been powerful for our listeners. And I'm going to make sure that our listeners, I'm sure they're going to respond to you in a positive way. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you for tuning in to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. Well, hit me up on Instagram at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Instagram or Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Facebook. Hope you're having a fantastic day. And listen, I want you to go out there and have a fantastic day on purpose. And you know, I mean,
about the things you do for me and the way you set my soul free. No one could love me the way that you do. But Lord, I've come to realize that I need to spend more time before your face. I need your grace for me to seek your face. It's about the way that you set my soul free. It's about the way you set my soul free. It's about the love that you give to me. It's the love that you give to me. It's about the
Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.